This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
The greatest competition in the world, as it's so called, is back this week. Just going to run through some of the games. Juventus versus Barcelona.
This would be the Champions League.
I think in the English Premier League.
So I was thinking the World Cup, and then he mentioned Juventus.
Scottish Premiership, the Challenge Cup. Or whatever it's called. No, Juventus v Barcelona is not a Challenge Cup fixture. That is a quarter final of the Champions League. There you've also got Dortmund v Monaco, Atletico Madrid v Leicester City, and Bayern Munich v Real Madrid. I think we'll all agree that some cracking games in that list. Not based on your reaction, though. You seem bored by them already. So contrast those games to the kind of negativity there's been at UEFA. Some of the changes they've made to the competition. Are they at risk of ruining this spectacle, the Champions League?
Well, I'll tell you what, when we get to the business end of your season, if you're like, yes, that's where all the big names and the big teams come to play, and I find some of it boring, but you do get some cracking games. I mean, you even look to the last round with Barca-PSG. Fantastic spectacle. But what UEFA are trying to do by changing it to 16 teams automatically getting in from the top four nations is they're trying to front load when these big games happen, which I think is just a nonsense. The very essence of the Champions League is the ability of champions from other nations, and I'm not taking this literal argument of, oh, champions means champions, because it's not quite that. I mean, I'm all for second, third, fourth teams getting in. But to try and kill off or kind of contract this entry path for teams like Celtic, for teams from other nations, Norway, Denmark, it's just a farce, because it completely diminishes the competition from the off. To just try and create this all-through model of the best teams is just a nonsense, and it is doomed to fail.
But surely that creates a better spectacle if you have, you know, more compelling matches between bigger clubs right at the start of the tournament. I mean, at what point do you prioritise spectacle over the sporting integrity, if you want to say that, of the competition?
Yeah, I mean, it's all fair and all well and good argument, the romance and things like that, and sticking up for the little guy, that's fair enough, but nobody watches these games.
Ah, oh, come on, that's
no,
absolutely
I'm sorry,
nonsense.
They don't. I'm sorry, nobody cares when Manchester City play Dynamo Kiev. They simply don't. Look at the viewing figures, look at the way they're billed. Nobody's going to sit down and watch that except for Man City fans who are desperate for 3 points.
And Celtic fans thing. Watching it. So I'm sorry, but did I miss BT signing the biggest ever deal in Champions League history?
Does that not argue that's because of the new system rather than...
No, because for, of more for 2015 to 2018.
I just don't think fans care. I mean, if
to be fair, I'd back you up to a certain extent. There was those figures that when Spurs were in the Champions League this season, even a team like Spurs, you know, a big London club, their viewing figures, I wish I could remember the exact numbers, but their viewing figures this season were atrocious in comparison to the likes of Arsenal, or in previous years when you had Manchester United or Liverpool or whoever in the Champions League, even a club like them struggled to attract the numbers.
I think the Champions League, unfortunately, has to kind of deal with realities, and the big reality for the Champions League and the big clubs in the Champions League, specifically, you know, your French, your Italian, Spanish and German teams who are in the ECA, specifically Bayern Munich, Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, who runs the ECA, well, not runs it, but he's president of the ECA, all they can think about, they go to bed every night thinking about the Premier League. They go to bed thinking the Premier League makes all the money, we have to figure out a way to get past that. And the easiest way to do that is to reformat the Champions League and turn it into something akin to a European Super League.
Because everyone's chasing the big broadcast money, which, by the way, is already there, and the big sponsorship money, which, by the way, is already there. I mean, it takes us back to the argument about international football 2 weeks ago. They're trying to create the Champions League for the football tourists. It's not for the fans. I don't care about watching Monaco against who? Sorry?
Monaco against Dortmund.
Even you had to check.
Yeah.
I mean, fine, I might sit down and watch it.
The Monaco are minnows, though.
So the English press keep telling us.
Oh, they are. They don't have any fans.
And then that's a completely different argument. Oh, you're trying to now take my argument about fans and turn it said just because Monaco are in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. I mean, that's a fairly stretched argument. No, but to go back to the point, yeah, Monaco's daughter, I forgot again. I'm sorry, I'm genuinely not labouring this point. It has to be about creating competition for fans and clubs in other countries to be part of this spectacle, because otherwise what do you create? You just create some football tourism nonsense for casual passers-by to come and watch games whatever they want, and there is no meaning to it, there's no depth to it, there's absolutely nothing compelling to it.
I would argue that you know every season you look at the Champions League and you can pretty much pick the semi-finals from the very beginning. You know, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, maybe an English team, Atletico Madrid. You know, it means a lot to those clubs' fans, and there are more of those fans than for any other club in the world. I mean, you ask a Real Madrid fan about the rivalry they now have with Bayern Munich, a team in a completely different country. They have that rivalry with another team from another country purely because of the Champions League. I mean, surely that is a relatively good thing, that it kind of creates those rivalries later on in the competition.
Yeah, and it comes back to this overarching idea that football is, and the world's getting smaller and smaller, and I think it's interesting you say that, having all these big ties in the group stages might, you know, defer attention going on through the competition. I kind of disagree entirely. I think the Champions League or UEFA currently look at the Champions League and think enough people aren't paying attention to the group stages because it's all dead rubber games. It's the likes of, you know, Bayern Munich playing teams from Russia or Celtic or even, you know, lesser teams perhaps in England or Italy, blah 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 blah, and they think if we get more big teams in the group stages, then people pay attention from the very start rather than just tuning in when the last 16 of the group stages or the quarterfinals kick in.
But what creates interest in a competition exactly? Is it big games at the group stage where teams are still going through the motions, it's early in the season, or is it actually the essence of what sport is about, the David v Goliath thing? There are shocks in the Champions League, and they send shockwaves through, and it can only be a positive thing for the Champions League. It's not going to be a shock of Borussia Mönchengladbach beat plucking teams out of thin air, PSG. I don't care. I really don't. I mean, it matters to someone, but what I find more invested in is the proper, not minnows, because they're not minnows, they're champions of a league, but clubs from smaller nations getting the chance to compete on that stage and creating enthralling nights. And I will always come back to Celtic. Barcelona 4 years ago, and even this season, that home game in Manchester City, that would have resonated all over the world, and that's what we're trying to get rid of.
Celtic are a little different though, because although in sporting terms they're a minnow, in terms of their general support and appeal, they're still very much involved in the competition. I'm not talking about Celtic, I'm talking about Dynamo Kiev here, I'm talking about Rostov, these clubs that nobody cares about. I'm sorry, but I'm sorry, but they don't. People in England or Germany or Holland or Scotland, if they see Bayern Munich versus Dynamo Kiev, nobody cares.
I think you might be looking through the prism of, you know, Scottish football here a little bit. And I mean, do people in Holland care that much about Celtic? I mean,
well, maybe they don't.
Do we care that much about Ajax, an Ajax game? I mean, that's similar kind of size of clubs, I would say.
Tell you what though, if you hear, well, you're on Twitter 20 minutes into Champions League night and Dynamo Kiev are 2-0 up in Bayern Munich, you're going to put your TV on. You care then?
Maybe, but at the same time, if it's Chelsea PSG on the next channel, people are still going to watch that game. I'm sorry, but they are, and it's as simple as that.
People are stupid.
But this is the thing, is right, like, don't get me wrong, right, obviously an upset is an upset and everyone loves that. An upset is an upset, but you can't have one upset to justify 10 dead rubber games every group stage competition.
It also comes down to how are we judging how these teams get in, because all this is a money grab by the top four leagues and represented through the ECA for the four big clubs, or two, three from each. You know, we talk about, and I'm sorry for always coming back to Celtic, but I guess this applies to Zenit St. Petersburg, Dynamo Kiev, Shakhtar Donetsk. I could go on, Porto, Benfica. You know, what it boils down to, these are big clubs with big supports all around the world. So how are we judging which teams get into this Champions League? We're doing it purely based on coefficient. We're doing it based on, and coefficient is just a mirror reflection of where the money is.
Well, you do it the same way that they pick the teams that play in the International Champions Cup or whatever it is. You know, the pre-season tournament, which is basically just the biggest clubs in the world. That's how you would pick it. That's the members of the ECA, and those are the ones that are pulling the strings behind these changes.
So what you're saying, just bring in the big money clubs.
Well, I don't know if that's a good idea or not. I think as a bit of a casual fan, I enjoy the latter rounds of the Champions League certainly more than the early rounds, and that's largely not just because of the format contributes to that, but I think it's because it pits the biggest clubs against each other. So if you do that early in the competition every single season, as a casual fan, yes, I can see why the appeal in that. And I think that's what we're edging closer to. I mean, is this the European Super League idea has been floated for decades? It's almost a mythical thing. But are we now closer to that than ever before?
Yeah, I think we are. I mean, I think this what we see right now in the Champions League, these new formats, isn't set in stone. I think there's a transition towards something that's going to change. And again, I come back to the point that, you know, it's all well and good moaning the likes of Bayern Munich or, you know, Atletico Madrid or Juventus are trying to change things to suit their agenda. But you have to bear in mind that these clubs keep looking at the Premier League getting bigger and bigger and bigger and thinking we have to try and deal with this. And it's simple economics. Now, yeah, okay, my heart goes out to Dynamo Kiev. Well, it doesn't really, but
you really
I'm sure.
don't like Dynamo Kiev.
I don't know why they keep coming. I'll change my mind. Right, okay, my heart goes out to, you know, Braga. But
Braga's not been in the Champions League for years.
I don't know, fine, any team, right? But if it's between Braga getting, you know, a shot in the group stages and losing four of their games and Juventus and Bayern Munich still being able to compete with Manchester United or Arsenal or, well, if Arsenal had a new coach or Chelsea, I'm always going to favour the one that means we at least have 20 good teams in Europe who fight it out every year.
What gives these clubs the right to think they are the biggest clubs in Europe?
Because they are.
Define it.
They make the most money.
Fans, oh, money. They made the most money.
Okay, so, well, yeah, okay,
quality
sure.
Comes if in, you, it obviously you, comes in at
so Bayern Munich are just
well.
Lucky to be in a prosperous television market. Arsenal, bad example. Manchester City, Chelsea are in good TV markets.
Well, that's what dictates the Champions League already.
Is those clubs are lucky to be in a great big TV market.
Grant, it's called reality. I mean, what do you want to do? Do you want to give Celtic a foot up? Because
yeah, I do. Because they are still, just because they're not in a moneyed league and can attract the best players in the world does not mean they are not a big club and that they don't deserve a seat at the biggest table. Maybe with an equitable solution where clubs all around Europe could have access to similar riches, then we might actually get to see what big clubs mm-hmm. are. These big clubs are completely by design, by dint of the population of the countries, the revenues they're able to bring in from broadcast and our marketing, mm-hmm. and that's about it.
Mm. Yeah, but so that's two things that are pretty legitimate reasons to be a big club.
So let's move on a little bit. Stefan's talking about the reality of this. The reality of it is this is happening.
One of us has to.
This is happening. It's going to be more difficult for, we use Celtic as an example because we're all Scottish. It's going to get more difficult for them to qualify for the Champions League. So what do they do? What is the action that they need to take? I mean, do teams like Celtic and Scandinavian countries and smaller nations, do they need to prepare an alternative? I mean, there's been talk of another.
They are. They already are. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say what they need to do is what they're doing right now. Peter Lawwell has to fly out to Amsterdam twice a year and have a meeting with, you know, was it half a dozen, two dozen clubs of the same size? And I don't know what they do at these meetings. They don't seem to be doing much. I don't
nothing, grant. Nothing that gets out anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to me, sorry to cut you off, the ECA, Grant, you might know more than I do, the ECA includes the likes of Celtic and Ajax, but it's the teams at the very top of it. It's within the ECA, you have little groups.
And little factions.
Yeah, you have your factions, you have your super clubs, then you have your teams like Celtic and Ajax. The super clubs are getting stuff done. They're getting shit done. I don't know what Celtic and Ajax are doing. They're reformatting the Champions League as we speak.
Yeah, by flexing their muscles.
Well, Celtic and Ajax
don't have any muscles.
Well, they have to figure it out then. I mean, football, unfortunately, is a free market economy. And if you don't have, and if you don't know, you know, if you're not strong enough, you have to evolve or you die. It's simple as that. Celtic don't evolve. If they don't evolve the league they play in, if they don't evolve the way they make money, and ultimately the players they can bring into the team, then it's not up to the UEFA. It's not up to UEFA Champions League to keep helping them along.
Well, this is where we're going to end up ultimately with a two-tier system. It could be, goodness knows how many tiers. What is going to happen is, if we go the way we're going, 2021 or 2024, the Champions League is going to implode. It will cease to exist if they continue down this path. What we will get is a European Super League, which will be the 16 or 24, whatever, best teams in Europe, suddenly just going off their own way. So that'll create that tier. And all that is essentially is a construct for TV, for people in China or America or wherever to watch these teams. And then what we'll have created beneath that is actual competitive football that means something to people in different nations where they can actually win European honour.
You keep saying competitive. Why isn't this is going back to the very start, why isn't this upcoming last 16 rounds competitive?
Well, it is competitive.
Yeah, aside from maybe Leicester, it's the 15 best teams in Europe right now pitting it against each other. Yeah. And I know we say we might be bored of it, but we're all going to watch it, and I'm going to love every game because
it means less to less people. means more to less people. If you have a system where it's a lot more open, that more teams have the ability to win it, to compete, to travel to different nations, then you have what I would call a competitive nature. Don't get me wrong, the Champions League is clearly compelling to people. It brings in money, it brings in people watching the televisions. It clearly does something. But it's just the solution for 16 clubs max, maybe 8 clubs, to constantly just slug it out every year. It's just not sustainable.
Yeah, but I think you're applying like a really human like negativity or pessimism to what is simple mathematics here. If Celtic were playing in England, I'm sure Bayern Munich would be more than happy to welcome them to the table to offer their solutions, but they don't make. I'm sure Celtic or Dynamo Kiev don't. They don't offer anything to Bayern Munich.
Set up a friendly here.
In Bayern Munich,
Dynamo Kiev.
It's not their prerogative to go about thinking, oh, how do we make sure everyone's okay?
Don't let them go off. And
every single sport in the world is run by TV money. It's run by how you make money from it. Why shouldn't UEFA? Why shouldn't the Champions League be any different?
Let them go off and do their thing then, and let everyone else get on with creating a compelling competition that means more to more people rather than just your football tourists and your finite amount of fans of those top 8 or whatever clubs.
Do you not just end up with another Europa League then, if that's...
That was actually going through my head, and I was hoping no one was going to say it.
Well, I don't know why you can't have a top tier, or maybe it's like a division and then you have playoffs at the end of it of maybe your top 12 or 15 leagues teams, and then there's a promotion relegation of the likes of Ajax and Celtic are in second tier who come and go every year.
They don't want promotion relegation, they want an MLS close shop.
I disagree entirely. I think the likes of Ajax and Celtic, if they're in the same league structure and making as much money from TV rights as Bayern Munich, etc., they're just as appealing to them, mm-hmm. and an international market, which is ultimately
then
what they're trying to
invite. Why are they not
appealing
in the first place? Why do they not just invite them in the first place if they are as
appealing?
Invite
them to what, though? There's nothing
into
there
the top
right
tier.
Now. Well, maybe they are. Maybe they're trying to change this. Maybe they're trying to change the Champions League so ultimately they can do something like that.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.